Welcome to HIT Consulting Podcast Series. In this podcast, we'll be speaking with Dr. Han Park, CEO of DiversiNet, as he talks about DiversiNet's strategy of powering care coordination through mobility and DiversiNet's role in supporting the expansion of the Army's MCARE program. This is part one of a two-part podcast series.
So as the newly appointed CEO of DiversiNet, can you tell me more about DiversiNet's new strategic direction of powering care coordination through mobility?
Sure. So within the last 2 to 3 months, even when I was the interim, I began to really look at what we had and look at the landscape of healthcare. And what became obvious to me is that healthcare is going through, obviously, a major transformation. Largely trying to change the cost curve. And much of that cost, if you look at what's increasing our costs and making healthcare unsustainable, has to do with chronic disease. In fact, for Medicare data, it's $3 out of $4 that are being spent on chronic or managing chronic disease, much of it which is preventable. And I think there is very little debate around how we need to solve that problem to change the slope or, you know, to factor in that 75% of the cost is really through patient-centered care or patient engagement, patient activation that ultimately changes behaviors, whether it's medication compliance or just, you know, making your visits, doing preventive care, just routine things that we just didn't even think about, that has clear evidence, whether it's from Geisinger or Kaiser, that doing that type of care coordination makes a huge impact, not only in the outcomes, but also for the cost curve. And so when we, as a team, began to look at what we had and ask the question, how do we impact that cost curve or care coordination, then it became fairly clear that mobility is really part of the solution for that last mile that enables patient engagement. And so when we started thinking about that last mile of patient engagement, which is necessary for patient activation, we realized that the security implications and the privacy issues, along with being able to provision a secure mobile application across multiple devices, were quite challenging to the industry, partly why there hasn't been wide adoption. And so our technology really is well positioned to connect and protect that last mile, and while provisioning and having a care coordination engine that allows healthcare organizations to now really leverage our tool to begin to engage patients in ways that have not been possible. And so that's really where our tagline comes in terms of powering care coordination through mobility.
Now, can you tell me more about DiversiNet's role in supporting the expansion of the Army's MCARE telehealth program that you guys were heavily involved in?
Sure. It's the Army's MCARE program, not MCARE telehealth.
Okay.
So those are separate things. But anyway, so the Army's MCARE program, as you may recall, or for those that do not know, it is a program to really do care coordination or case management of those soldiers who have returned from the war and have mild to moderate conditions such as traumatic brain injury or PTSD or other types of issues that require case managers to track and monitor and engage with the soldiers that have returned back home that are scattered throughout the United States. And DiversiNet really provides that secure platform by which the case managers and the folks within the hospitals are able to communicate and, again, connect and engage with these soldiers slash patients that are out there to ensure that they're taking their medications on time, that they're going to their appointments as scheduled, and in addition to just engaging with them and just saying how they're doing, on their, with their families, how they're feeling, whether they're, feeling depressed. And that data from the study is going to be published here, in the next month or so. So we're pretty excited because we've seen some glimpses of the preliminary data. But we essentially are the engine that powers the MCARE platform. The other thing that I would add is they are expanding. The Army has a plan to take what they're doing with the platform and then expanding it for patient-centered medical home. And I don't know to what degree you know about patient-centered medical home, but it's a program mm-hmm. that really changes the business model to a more, from a provider-centered healthcare to patient-centered healthcare. And what I mean by that is it's more proactive engagement of the patients that's team-based, where the nurses and the staff get engaged as a team rather than episodic care, which is what's still somewhat more prevalent, where we wait for the patient to come in when they are sick, we do the best we can, and we do some preventive care, giving shots and so forth, instead of taking a more proactive engagement around population health. And so that's where they're looking to take mobility and really try to enable patient-centered medical care because fundamental to patient-centered medical home, like the accountable care, is really all about shifting towards care that is more proactive and patient-centered.
Right. Now, outside of the military, how do we make those steps towards that?
Yeah, so I think that the last year has been a very interesting year. There are, because of the incentives with the high tech, with the changes, with the Accountable Care Act, along with number of other, regulations or policies that have been pushed forth, there's clearly a mandate for healthcare organizations to now have to go on that journey towards that patient-centered care. So I believe there are forces both in terms of incentivization and disincentives starting in 2015, especially if you're talking about meaningful use, in which healthcare organizations that don't do patient-centered care and don't have outcome-based care are going to be penalized. And so I believe there's movement afoot, but obviously the challenge right now is that largely the incentives or how the healthcare organizations and providers are being reimbursed is through the traditional means of per volume or per episode. And so until that fundamentally changes, I don't think we'll get the massive adoption, but I'm beginning to see fairly significant changes in how healthcare organizations are looking and investing. And so I believe that that's naturally going to happen. Now, how quickly it's going to happen and so forth is obviously up for debate. But I believe that people are now understanding, based on the new Meaningful Use Stage 2 and a number of other things that are coming out, the engagement that is necessary, the role that mobility is going to play, and the role that DiverseNet will play in that now becomes a very significant opportunity.
Now, mobility has been recognized as one of the key drivers for meaningful use. What is DiverseNet's role in assisting healthcare organizations achieve meaningful use?
Sure. Obviously, the meaningful use, if you look at the various different objectives and measures, there are things like patient reminders. There are timely electronic access to health information, patient-specific education, summary of care. But in the new proposed Stage 2 regulation, it's clear that a patient must be given the opportunity to kind of view and transmit their medical records online. And so now with the new requirements, or at least proposed requirements, and the requirements from Stage 1, meaningful use, it's clear that mobility, like you said, is fairly significant in the role that it will play. I believe that DiverseNet, given the integrated security, the secure messaging, the configure once, deploy many care coordination engine that allows you to configure using our templates very quickly the questions and the interactions and setting up the alerts and reminders are really the building blocks for organizations to really meet those components of the meaningful use.
Right. So in December of last year, DiversityNet received a mobile security patent that responds to the growing need to secure stored sensitive personal information on mobile devices. Can you tell me more about that patent? Because you guys have a number of patents, actually.
Correct. Yeah, and we really have 18 patents that have been approved, and then many more that are patent pending. I think the one that was announced back last year was called Methods for Binding a Security Element to a Mobile Device. And really, the patent is an anti-cloning capability or methodology that prevents thefts of sensitive information on the mobile device. In other words, if you were able to take the software that was downloaded and is being used on one mobile device and someone clones that and then tries to use it on another device, this patent protects that because of our technology has that anti-cloning capability or technique. But obviously we have many other patents around security and protection of our PHI information.
Now last week, the ONC held a mobile device roundtable discussion on how to safeguard health information. In your opinion, what are some of the key challenges and obstacles of mHealth security?
Sure. Actually reviewed that a while back or a month ago or after the session occurred. And to me, this is really about two different domains. There's the mobile device at large for providers that are within the enterprise and their ability and the need to protect those devices, the software and the data that's inside those devices. And then there's a whole set of consumer devices in which HIPAA doesn't really or not necessarily relevant or doesn't, obviously, because it's the patient's devices, doesn't cover per se. However, the key challenges really have to do with if we're going to engage the patients, then the consumer devices and the mobile devices really become critical. And obviously, the ability for healthcare organizations then to manage the devices become really an impossible task, which means that now you have to really be able to protect the data and ensure the appropriate use of the application on the consumer devices. So I believe, in short, the challenges are our growing need to store PHI on the consumer devices so that we can do things like decision support or to do offline application because bandwidth is not pervasive everywhere. We also need to worry about apps that collect information. And we already know that many of the apps from the Google Store or in the iTunes marketplace, we know that many of them collect information from the device. And we know that we want to ensure that other applications do not inadvertently or advertently begin to either take the data, the sensitive data, from other apps that may be in the devices, and then this whole management around or the whole challenge around the consumer devices being lost and how do you protect the data once it's lost, how do you replicate it once you switch the devices. So I believe it really comes down to the security and the protection of information on consumer devices if we are to really get the massive adoption necessary to do patient engagement and connecting and protecting that last mile. And so that's where I believe DiversityNet's unique strength really comes in, because we're able to, again, do that last mile in a connected and protected way.
This concludes part one with Dr. Han Pak, CEO of DiversityNet. Thanks, and have a great day.